You're listening to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
At the height of his powers, 1957. I still think Elvis started going downhill after this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
he spent years going downhill then.
Well, but look at it. Good Luck Charm, Teddy Bear.
Well, I know.
Come on.
I know. There was a lot of singles that were just like, God, it's Elvis, so that's all I'm
well, yeah, no, yeah. I get that. But I mean, this, he was creative. He was, you know, there. It was a great movie. Everything else started going, you know, But 7:36 is the time. When you hear me playing something to do with law enforcement or jail, you know.
Yeah.
U.S. Marshals. Wow. We got them all.
In the house.
I feel safe. Well, two out of three.
As long as there's not a picture of you somewhere.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It is our pleasure to welcome back, Jeff White. I'll let you do all the introductions, Jeff.
Hey, good morning. Glad to be back on
good
the
to have you back, man.
Biscuits and Gravy show. I
yeah,
yeah,
Biscuits
yeah.
and Gravy. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That was good morning to him with Biscuits and Gravy.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here with the whole crew today. We have the Marshal, Nick Willard, and Brandon.
Wow.
No further introduction needed.
Yeah.
That's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm not sure.
Nick, you're not going back to Manchester.
No,
I see the chief stepping down. I was asking.
No, I'm not going back to Manchester, okay. But Aaron Brown is the police officer that I fired. Imagine that. That's a whole different topic.
Okay.
I
saw that story, but no temptation?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay.
This is a phenomenal job with phenomenal people.
I mean, how long have you been there? At U.S. Marshals now?
It'll be actually 2 years on the 17th.
Well, okay. I mean, and see, Jeff spent 2 years training you. You know, it would be a shame to have all that time, you know, go to waste just to have you go back south of the toll booth.
A few more therapy lessons and I'll be okay. It should be 2 years, they said, I'll be getting better.
Now, and you can stay. Now, what happens if there's a change of residence at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah, so I serve at the will of the president. So yeah. if President Trump loses and Biden becomes president, then it'll be up to him whether or not he wants to retain me or put somebody else and appoint somebody else in the position.
Well, then, yeah, well, Biden, yeah, he might take you out of U.S. Marshal of Vermont, right?
Yeah. U.S. Marshal of Vermont.
Well, remember when he was in Keene and he said it's great to be in Vermont?
Yeah. I try not to disparage a potential future employer.
Absolutely. Oh, very good.
But he may just sit there and say, you know, Nick, you're doing a good job.
Yeah, he may.
Okay.
I mean, I hope there are some marshals right now. There's 94 marshals across the country.
Yep.
And I think right now there's like 19 holdovers that were held over from President Obama's administration.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it could happen.
Okay. All right. Well, we hope. I mean, you've done a great job. Below the radar, you're not in the news. Your name is not being splashed around. You know what Willard said? You know,
yeah.
Doing good.
That's kind of by design.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. I'm just saying.
That's why we get Jeff and Brandon.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why Brandon keeps getting pushed out there.
Isn't it scary that we're the filters?
But no, you've done well, and you guys are doing well. I mean, in terms of the fugitive program, and that's the only outward manifestation that people have to see, and they see it. They see it on Channel 9. They hear it on the Pulse. See it in a couple of papers, and it's a success.
It's definitely worked. It's been around for quite a few years now, and we're fortunate that we've had the success we had. We've seen it grow. Like I've said before, I said I was a naysayer when this program was started. I was like, I didn't want to do it. I don't want to have to find a fugitive every week to profile, build a poster, send it out. There's a lot of backside work that people don't see. And then once it's the person's captured, we have to do another press release closing the fugitive out. There's a lot of legwork to it. And it's not always easy to decide, hey, who's going to be the fugitive of the week? You know, for instance, this week, it's a repeat fugitive of the week, somebody that we featured back in January, and it was good to have this person available to feature, but it's definitely things have changed in the investigation, pointing to other areas, so we thought it was important to feature it again. But, you know, over the past years, this was definitely a program that was started by you, Peter, and the former marshal, Steve Monier, your brainchild, and it definitely...
It was Steve's. I was along for the ride.
Oh, really? Well, okay. Well, we appreciate you going for the ride. And, you know, it's worked. And over those years... one of the reasons we decided to come into the studio today is we wanted to present you guys with a plaque because we just, over the summer, we hit number 500.
Wow.
500 fugitives a week that we've arrested since 2006?
Yeah.
2007.
Wow. 2007. Wow. I think it started like September 2007 we started. So we're probably averaging, you know, 40 arrests a year on the Fugitive of the Week program. So that's... That's a pretty high number, considering we're only probably featuring 48, 46, depending on the year, where the holidays fall, and whether we have repeats or not. And, you know, it's a pretty impressive number. When you see that number 500, I saw it coming, obviously, last year at the end of the year, and I'm like, oh, I need to keep track of that, because it's definitely, it's a number that we should be proud of. It's a number that the success of the program, it shows.
Yeah.
And I... We'll keep going.
You know? We were on a roll after we took a little hiatus when the coronavirus jumped in, but then it seemed like every time we'd put one up, another one would come down, and it was like, this is great.
Yeah, that's great. You know, but we do have those slumps, and you know, obviously, right now, I think we're in one of those slumps again, 3 or 4 weeks without. But then next week, who knows? We could arrest five people. So it's. You never know. And just because they're not fugitives of the week, it does not mean that we're not out arresting people. There's still people out there that are getting arrested. We're just not featuring them as fugitive of the week. So this is 500 just fugitive of the weeks that have been arrested since the start of this program. So that's a good number, but that pales in comparison to the number of arrests we normally make. We probably, on average, 360 arrests a year. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, we're working 5 days a week, minus off holidays, and vacations, sick time. That's a pretty impressive number.
That's
so
awesome.
Yes, we have slow days, slow weeks where we might get one that's a harder fugitive to find, but we also have those days where we arrest five, you know, so it's...
Yeah, I love the ones where you get somebody at a traffic stop. Oh, and by the way, the two people in the car with them also have outstanding warrants.
Not
like,
a shot.
Yes!
Not a shot. It's a touchdown right there. It's definitely something we look for, you know. They tend to associate together, so it's not unusual, and you know, we tend to know the people they're associating with, so we have the chance to run them for warrants even before we have an encounter with them. So most of the time, we know who we're dealing with. We know that, hey, if our guy is with this person and this person, they both have warrants too, so everybody gets handcuffed and everybody goes to jail. So it's a good opportunity for them to take care of their problems. You know, that's how we look at it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. All right,
but
do you want to?
Yeah, Nick has a plaque.
Yeah, so I hope you proudly display this here in your office.
Absolutely.
But it's a
we
plaque.
Have an office?
Well, we're here in
Sorry.
Your studio.
Okay.
Sorry.
Fish tank.
You know what I mean?
I'm like Brandon.
Yeah,
I got a car.
Dash mounted.
Yeah. There you go.
It's actually quite a handsome little thing. Jeff had it made. He did a wonderful job with it. On behalf of the United States Marshal Service, capture number 500 is presented to Peter St. James and the Good Morning New Hampshire Show. In 2007, the Fugitive of the Week program was started with the WTPL's Peter St. James on the Good Morning New Hampshire Show. Through this unwavering support of our media partners, the public, and law enforcement, this feature has helped to make our communities a little safer for all of us. Thank you for helping us capture over 500 fugitives of the week.
So, wow. Thank you very much.
It's unbelievable.
I can't believe we've been doing this for 13 years.
Where's the clap track?
Though? Yeah, we needed
a clap.
Where's the clap track?
All I have is breaking news.
So I'm not sure where you're going to put this, but I hope you display it. I mean, this is...
Well, no, we absolutely will.
We got to find. We got to find a spot. Find the spot.
13 years, Jeff? Seriously?
Yeah, I know.
Holy moly.
We should start talking about retirement then, huh?
Man.
Which one of us?
It's retirement of the week.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, retirement's not all that bad.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Just saying. Retirement's not all that bad.
No, very kind. Thank you, Nick. I appreciate that.
That's wonderful.
Wow. No, that's wonderful. It's been a pleasure. And again, it converted a naysayer into, hey, program works.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It's been great for the department because a lot of people don't know. They think Con Air, U.S. Marshal, that's the only concept they have of you. You managed to shine a different light on it and a New Hampshire light. So it's been an educational tool as well.
Well, we're happy to be here and glad we can keep doing it. It's a two-way partnership. It definitely works. You know, I think the public interaction part of it is great. I think it's important to have the public's help and the media support.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, we wouldn't have had the success. So it's definitely worth keeping going.
You just love to come in and see Jess.
That's it.
And Charlotte.
And Charlotte.
And Char.
Yeah.
The new star.
Yeah, well, that's it. Man, she's on the floor playing quiet.
I can't believe she's not mic'd up yet.
Brandon, why don't you?
Oh, pretty soon. Pretty soon.
Bring the Legos over, Brandon. Yeah.
So I got a puzzle here.
Do we have, so do you want to talk about Willem?
Yeah, we have Future of the Week to feature again. He is a repeat. We featured him back, I believe it was January 8th of this year. Willem Wonsang. We actually arrested him last year on a Sullivan County warrant regarding the same offense. It was a home invasion that was pretty violent. He's charged with first and second degree assaults, burglary, obviously marked him up as violent tendencies. So when we arrested him last year, he got released on bail. And he's been wanted since January for failing to appear on these charges again in court. So the last time we arrested him in Manchester, where he was living. And he has a lot of ties, family, friends in Manchester. But we also learned recently that he has a lot of ties down in the Lynn, Massachusetts area. I'm sure somebody has contact down there and goes down there and visits.
Lynn, City of Sim.
Good place to keep an eye out for Mr. Willem Wonsang. We're hoping somebody does go down that way and might recognize him. We have two different photos, one with a hat on and one without the hat on. That was his last arrest photo back, I think it was December we arrested him, or November last year.
Mm.
But pretty distinct-looking gentleman. Has a couple of tattoos on his right hand. He has a cross on his right shoulder. He has another cross with a cobra and some other tattoo on his right wrist as well. 45 years of age, 5'8", 175 pounds, brown eyes and black hair. Definitely take a look at the photo, see if you recognize him from anywhere you might have been. And if you know exactly where he is, please give us a call. We'd love to have the information. We'd like to put Mr. Wonsang back in handcuffs.
And Dan Cianciello?
Dan Cianciello is the case agent on this, and he can be reached at the main office number at 603-225-1632. Or you can always click on the link right on the web, the poster that says web tip. That'll send us an anonymous email. Or you can text NHTIP followed by any information to the phone number TIP411.
You know, 45 years old, you'd think he'd know better at this point in life.
At some point you grow up and kind of realize there's more to life than just going in and out of jail. But Mr. Wonsang apparently is having difficulty understanding that. And we'll try to help him find his way.
You know, there are many roads you can choose in life. I think some people just get on the road and stand like, no, breaking and entering is much better than me going on an interview.
Why work? Work is just overrated.
Work, yeah, yeah.
So, again, I'm not asking you to get in. I'm not going to ask Nick for sure because I don't want any political overtures on this. But if you find him and he gets arrested, would he get released on bail again? Because they already said, yeah, we tried that before. It didn't work. And I know bail reform is a popular thing right now.
We will have that frustration in Massachusetts if he's arrested in Massachusetts.
Right.
Mass courts tend to be very easygoing. Go up to New Hampshire and take care of your New Hampshire warrant. That has happened to us many times before.
Really?
Extremely frustrating.
Yes.
We'll definitely try to put some pressure to keep him in custody. I think that's the way to do it. And then in New Hampshire, I think at this point, based on the level of offense, I think even Sullivan County will probably hold him.
Yeah.
I think they'll definitely, you know, just based on the fact he's featured as Feature of the Week twice, that's a motivating factor. Okay, he's been wanted since December of last year. You've featured him twice now. He hasn't been found. You have people that know how to find people that are looking for him, and it's taken this long. So let's try to keep him in custody so we know where to find him, so he actually shows up to court.
That's got to be frustrating for you.
It can be extremely frustrating.
I can't imagine spending 6 months finding somebody that's just have them hit the street, then stiff again. It's like, seriously, I got to do this again?
Exactly. It is. There's a lot of people out there that I sit there and I hope and pray that they stay in jail for the rest of their life, or at least stay in jail until after I retire so I don't have to look for them again. you know, there's a few of those. And most recently, it was Kevin Paul. He was involved in the Jeremy Sharon murder.
Mm-hmm.
And had him arrested down in Texas. And one of the things I said, you know, it was just on a parole violation originally, and an escape charge was going to come after. My big thing is I didn't want to see him come up and get six more months in jail. Because then where are we in 6 months?
Yeah, I know.
Doing the same thing again and again.
Yeah.
That's the second time I've had to look for him. And putting him in jail this time, I was very happy to read in the paper a couple of weeks ago that he got 17 years.
Yep.
Which is a huge sentence, mm-hmm. considering I believe he's only spent 17 years in prison on the original charge. So that's a huge charge and sentence.
It's better than 6 months.
That's a lot better than 6 months. I guarantee I will not be doing this job in 17 years.
I don't know.
And I think he's still probably facing the escape charge as well. So that'll be more time on top of it. So,
all right.
And you know, to your point earlier, we don't really see what the Marshal Service does. The Fugitive of the Week profiles
that. Right.
Well, I got to see firsthand how they captured this Paul character and the work that they did, and they did it quietly, and they're not fanning the flames of their own grandeur here, but I will. It was absolutely extraordinary. I mean, the way they found him, which we don't talk about our methods, but the way they found him and how they found him and how efficient and professional it was just, I'm telling you, I'm still amazed as the marshal. I've been here 2 years. I'm still amazed at what they can do. It's just, it's fascinating. When I was doing homicides in Manchester, if I hadn't known the connection like I know now, every time I had a bad guy to take off on me or I had a suspect in a homicide, I would have called Jeff directly and said, hey, can you go scare this guy up for me?
We
really didn't know. We were kind of, this is the way we've always done things in Manchester. It's our case. This guy just committed a homicide. Even though we can't find him, we're going to put our efforts into it.
Yeah.
In hindsight, I just would have called Jeff and said, this is our guy. Can you go find him while we continue to work the backside of the case?
Jeff, note to self, retire. It ain't going to get any better than what he just did. Okay? Just saying that.
I know. Like I need motivation.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, it is 7:52. Nick Willard, U.S. Marshal for New Hampshire. Nick, thank you for the award, Jeff.
A very humble thing.
It's great, and we love doing it.
Hey, Brandon was here too.
And the ear candy. Thank you. Brandon Wilson, U.S. Marshal. Guys, thank you, and we'll see what we can do to help you again with the U.S. Marshals. And the Future of the Week, we'll do it again next week.
Perfect. I look forward to it.
And guys, don't make this once a year, twice a year. Come on up anytime. You know that. We love seeing you.
Fantastic.
All right. Thank you very much. 7:52. Taking
thank
a break.
Thank you so much.